the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely magnificent day today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great. I'm doing a whole lot better than Trump's White House is doing. I mean, chaos at the White House. I mean, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, basically, I'm sure he's probably a hardcore socialist, communist, doesn't resign and isn't fired over plans to wiretap Trump and use the 25th Amendment to oust him, but he ends up attending a cabinet meeting instead. I mean, it looks like his goose was cooked for a few hours Monday morning, but reports emerged late last week that he had plotted to oust the president via the 25th Amendment, and he's going to get fired for it. Following a series of news reports he'd either quitting or resigning, he instead attended a cabinet meeting at the White House. He sat in for the, basically for the non-existent, zero productivity, totally compromised Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He oversees the expansive Russian probe conducted by the special counsel Robert Mueller, whom he appointed. Remember, Rosenstein appointed Mueller. And taking him out of the equation would give the investigations reins to Solicitor General Noel Francisco, whom the West Wing would prefer. But the White House says Rosenstein has asked for a meeting Thursday with the president, and he'll get it. So, quite frankly, I'm not sure what's going on here. Solicitor is trying to stop the release of that redacted information that Trump has said has to come out. It's concerning the election and the fraud. So maybe they're all trying to play the game of politics, Austin, and negotiate on a board of checkers. I guess this wouldn't be checkers, this would be chess, as to who can manipulate the other person the most and get the most from this incredibly bizarre situation in the White House. Again, it shows the instability of the White House and why Donald Trump basically is allowing his Kabbalist son-in-law and his Kabbalist daughter, who basically both practice Kabbalah, who were both members of the Shabbat sect, to be in charge and pretty much run what's going on in the Oval Office. Very weird stuff going on right now in the Oval Office. I find it all really kind of disheartening. I hear more and more and more about, you know, there's over 50,000 signed indictments now, and that Trump's going to release a massive amount of people who are all going to be going to jail. And some of the top alternative people are talking like this now, and I don't buy it. I simply don't buy it. I'll believe that 50,000 people are going to be indicted and go to jail when 50,000 people are indicted and go to jail. So far, I haven't seen. I'm being honest, also. I mean, think about this with Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was lock her up for an entire year of campaigning, and all of a sudden we get in the White House. Oh, Hillary and Bill are great people. Oh, yeah, I really love them. They're good people. They're at the wedding, blah, blah, blah. It's great friends, blah. And I'm like, what the heck? I thought, what would happen to lock her up? What happened to, let's figure out where these chemtrails are coming from. Let's figure out what's going on with the vaccines, and let's find out what happened with 9/11. What happened with all of that? Nothing. And yet, but Trump has kept a lot of people, like Doug Hagman said on our show last week, a lot of people are still holdovers. I mean, tens of thousands of the people appointed in these various committees and jobs are still holdovers from the Barack Obama communist administration from the Gay Canyon. And quite frankly, I hear now that Trump's going to had a meeting with Obama in the White House. It went badly. And that they're taking Obama out of the history books and basically strip him of his presidency. All I hear is this weird stuff from a lot of strange people that basically want to say this stuff with absolutely no proof and absolutely no ability to document anything that they're saying from a legitimate source. So I'm very, very careful. I want to cover some of those weird stories this morning. But also, you sent me a video yesterday, and it was kind of disturbing to me. It's got, if you're on my personal list, you received it. You received an edited version, and you also received a very unbelievably, horribly foul language version of a man who was about 6'8". He looks like he was a giant, who was using a community dumpster behind his house with a group of other families and filled the dumpster up with bedding, beds, dumpsters, you know, mattresses and box springs. And nobody else could use the dumpster. And the neighbor came out and basically unloaded the dumpster and threw the mattress back into this guy's yard, pursuing with an altercation. With the man coming out initially with his gun concealed, I found out, Austin, and then basically drawing the weapon when the altercation started, when the huge guy, the 6'8" guy, was telling the short guy, who was 6 feet tall, you know, he's not short, that he was going to kill him. Then his son comes out with a shotgun, hearing the commotion going on, went back in the house, got a shotgun, came back out. So now you have two guys, all white people. We'll make sure they understand it's all white people. None of them appear to be at the least part interested in going to church. Not saved, as far as I'm concerned. The language is unbelievable. So the two white guys, the small white guys, one's like 5'6", one's like 6 feet, and the other one who's like a Nephilim, he's so big. He starts screaming insults to the two people that took his junk out of the dumpster, and basically said he's going to kill them both. And then the 1 6-foot-tall white guy who's got the gun pistol by his side, brandishing the weapon, and also the other guy who is brandishing the shotgun, the 6-foot-tall white guy says, "Don't come near me. If you come near me, I'm going to kill you." And then the big guy again screams epithets, basically screaming and cussing, saying he's going to kill them both. Multiple times he threatened to kill them both. Finally, the big guy, somebody hands him a baseball bat, which you'd never take a baseball bat to a gunfight, and then apparently he threw the bat, and the guy ended up shooting him multiple times with a handgun, and then the son almost at the same time unloaded with him on a 12-gauge shotgun, and the Nephilim giant 6'8" guy, whatever he was dead. Now, the two other guys were arrested, charged with murder. They're out now, I believe, on a $250,000 bond. And it's a giant mess over in Abilene, Texas with this. It's made front news in their town. It's only 100,000 people in the town. And it just shows me what happens when people brandish weapons, when people refuse to go back inside. I mean, the big guy was obviously in a situation. He already had been assaulted. He already assaulted a postal worker, which I can't say much about that. Some postal workers are absolutely horrible people. 99% of them are great. Some of them are just, I mean, they're like Prozac kings and queens, and they shouldn't even be on the force. I mean, they're awful to even deal with. And so, you know, apparently he already assaulted a postal worker. I'm not sure if he'd been charged as a misdemeanor or as a felony with that. Don't know. But he didn't have a weapon, apparently. He talked about getting a BB gun, and he got into a giant altercation, you know, screaming and yelling at these two guys who are fully armed with fully exposed weapons, telling them both that he was going to kill them, and cooler heads should have prevailed. The giant could have walked back inside and called 911, but he didn't seem like the kind of guy who wanted to call 911 with his constant threats of murdering and killing these guys. And the other guys could have walked back inside and said basically that he had threatened to kill them. It ended up with the big guy being dead. And so, you know, I sent out that video to a bunch of you guys and asked for comments on it, and everybody's as confused as I am about what to do. But if this is a stand-your-ground law, if this is a stand-your-ground incident in which these two smaller white guys, the 6 foot and the 5'6" one, are capable of standing their ground in an alley and behind their house, and the other guy threatening to kill them, it's an abuse of that law. I'm just telling you, it's abuse of the law. I mean, all three of these guys should have just taken a chill pill, gone inside the house, taken some magnesium brain food, calmed their butts back down, and gone out there and tried to negotiate about the dumpster stuff. And I can understand why they were mad of him filling the dumpster up with bedding and nobody else could use the dumpster. I got that. All right, but it's not worth dying or killing somebody over. Now their lives, the big guy's dead, and the other two guys are basically, their lives will never be the same again, ever. They'll never be the same again. So I kind of summarized that, Austin. What do you think about that whole situation? Because it was so weird. I dealt with that yesterday morning.
It is. You know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I read some more up on it last night. And I'm very curious to see essentially what's going to happen with this, with these charges. I'm curious if it's going to go to a jury trial. I'm curious to see if it goes that far, what they're going to rule. I think to some extent, yes, it is an abuse of stand your ground. The only aspect of it that I do understand as far as where they were coming from is that the individual, the large individual that was killed, he did make numerous death threats. And now, the video you see, guys, if you haven't seen the video, it's the big guy that got killed. It's his wife or girlfriend is videotaping it on her phone. So she gets a large percentage of the incident, including the very end and the shooting, on her phone, which is how it was released, because basically the police got a hold of it as evidence, and so they released it. The one aspect of it that really changes the whole game is you can't see in the video what the large individual with the baseball bat actually did right at the exact moment that the shorter individual with the pistol did to engage him with a handgun. You can't see it. You hear them yelling and cussing, then basically you hear a gunshot, and then you see a glimpse of the guy with the pistol getting hit with the baseball bat, actually throws it at him, he gets hit. Then the guy engaged him two more times with a handgun, and then the son engaged him with the 12-gauge almost immediately thereafter. So the aspect of this is, if you have somebody standing in front of you and they're holding a baseball bat, which is considered a deadly weapon, and they pick it up and they tell you that they're going to kill you and they start swinging it at you and coming at you with it, you are 100% legally authorized, at least in Texas and in Florida, to stand your ground and use deadly force because this individual is using a baseball bat. The issue is that they're going to run into, in my opinion, is that they did not call law enforcement. If they would have been standing there with firearms and they would have said, listen, I'm not going to argue with you about this. You're making death threats to me. You're basically holding a deadly weapon. I'm going to call law enforcement. Now we're going to call the cops out here. I'm going to get you arrested for aggravated assault, and I'm going to file a temporary restraining order on you. And that was on camera, and law enforcement shows up before anything happens. It could have de-escalated it. Or if it did still escalate and the guy was shot, at that point in time, they had actually tried to contact law enforcement to get them out there. That's the only issue that I can see really, really coming up on this, if the guy actually did swing the bat at them, if they were justified in shooting them, is the fact that they were standing out there. They really had no reason to stay out there. They were not technically on their property. Neither of anybody was. They were actually in an alleyway behind their houses. You can tell it's kind of a rural area on like an easement road. So neither one of them were in their home or on their property. So they weren't defending their property. They were both in an alleyway. So they're really, it's a really gray area. And that's why, I mean, it sucks somebody died. I mean, I don't know the whole story behind everybody. I know the one guy that died has been arrested numerous times for battery and assault. So obviously he's hot tempered. You can tell by the way he's talking, the numerous death threats he made towards these individuals. He's used to getting in fights. And essentially he was just irate that they would not back down and that they would essentially not go put their guns up so he could beat them up. Because, I mean, he was much larger than them. You could tell he was a big old boy. He's used to getting in fights and winning on a regular basis. You could see that from his body language. Dad and I have dealt with enough individuals like that when we were younger and everything else. You can tell when somebody is like that, and that's exactly how this guy is. So I don't know. Very curious to see it. The one guy's dead. His life's over with. The other two guys, even if they get acquitted, even if it's no build, even if a jury finds them not guilty, their lives are still going to be changed forever. Not only did they take the guy's life, they're going to have to deal with all the ramifications, more than likely lawsuits that are going to occur after this as well, you know, civil suits. That's all going to be next. And so they got to deal with that. And they should have walked away. The problem is I've been in situations like that. So is Dad. And you know, it's hard sometimes when adrenaline gets in it, testosterone gets in it, and you can tell this was not an incident that was a singular event. This is something that has been ongoing. It even said that in one of the reports, that this has basically been an ongoing feud about the dumpster that was like the common area dumpster in this alleyway for people to throw their trash in that basically were on that street. So this is not something, there was a lot of pent-up anger, aggression, and it culminated into a very aggressive argument that ended in basically a one-sided gunfight, and the individual took a 12-gauge to the head eventually as the last shot, and that's what blew his head off. And the problem is, you know, one thing about it, it does show you in this, is that it doesn't matter how big you are, doesn't matter how tough you are, doesn't matter how good of a fighter you are, a 12-gauge is the great mediator, and there's not much you can say to argue with it. When it pops off, it makes force known, and it did exactly that in the video, and it is what it is with this. So, yeah, that's pretty much where we're at with that situation. Also, too, I wanted to talk about, this is something that I wasn't able to bring up on Friday because I ran out of time. A lot of people send me emails occasionally and ask me why I do not have PayPal on our website. And you guys know PayPal is extremely anti-Second Amendment. They're hardcore pro-abortion. They're hardcore leftist liberal ideology as far as transgender stuff. I don't support PayPal. They've contacted me repeatedly and tried to get me to set PayPal up on our website and take our payment system to it. The problem is I've had like probably 5 or 10 people, probably close to 10 people that I know that have run businesses, have had nothing but literally a horrific time with PayPal, with them blocking your account, with them seizing your account, with them holding funds for indefinite periods of time. And I'm talking accounts you got $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in it. They lock your account up. One or two chargebacks, one or two complaints, and all of a sudden your account goes locked. Blocked out of your account for 90 days. Well, PayPal processor, PayPal has now completely banned InfoWars now, which is represents nothing less than a political ploy to financially destroy media outlets just weeks before the midterm election. election. Company representatives called InfoWars to confirm that PayPal was fully terminating their agreement after a review of the InfoWars site. The company claimed that InfoWars violated PayPal's acceptable use policy because it promoted hate and intolerance against certain communities and religions. However, no specific examples were given. Officials did not provide anything to back up their claim. They simply relied on the nebulous definition of hate, which is so vague that virtually anything can qualify. And this is something that I've talked out before, because PayPal is, you know, I mean, it's connected with George Soros, it's connected with all types of different things. Even just weeks ago, George Soros-funded group Right Wing Watch published an article demanding, it's funny, ironically, that PayPal terminate its agreement with InfoWars over egregious violations of their own terms and services. So George Soros-funded group Right Wing Watch already stated that PayPal needed to block them out. In addition, Jeff Bezos' own Washington Post published an article less than 2 weeks ago that was a blatant dog whistle for PayPal to ban InfoWars. So this is essentially what we're seeing now, with the ultimate culmination of PayPal almost acting like a de facto communist Chinese-style social credit score, first which they demonize you, then censor you, then before you pretty much are at the end, they basically remove your ability to operate freely in a marketplace. And this decision is blatantly political, given the fact that the midterms are now just weeks away. This is happening across the board with so many different alternative media outlets. I mean, we've seen it with YouTube, Facebook, everything. You guys already know. We've talked about it in general. Now, PayPal is going this route. PayPal is a huge credit card processor. And again, this is why I don't use them. They're incredibly left-wing. At any time, if they don't like you, they can literally shut you down, completely shut you down, and you have to go with a different card processor. So I just want to kind of bring that to you guys' attention, that this is a concerted effort to completely and totally shut down alternative media. That's why it's so important that we all do everything we can to get information like this out there, to forward our shows, to forward the Hagmann shows, to get this information out in the general public and make it known so people understand what's going on. And then on top of that, do not use services like this. And of course, if you have a business, do not enter a contractual obligation with them where they have the ability to shut you down whatsoever. We use Authorize.net, which is one of the strongest, strictest virtual terminals in the world, and they are pretty much neutral. They don't really push any left-wing, any right-wing. They're essentially neutral, which is what a credit card processor needs to be, because there's too many of them out there now, including Citibank and Chase, that are going out now and saying that they're going to stop any transactions via guns from gun sellers. I mean, that's across the board now. They're trying to do that. So all these things are happening at one time, but none of them are exclusive by themselves. They are all being done in a concerted effort to shut down the conservative media and the right-wing media, Dad, considering how close we're getting to the midterm elections now. They want to do everything they can to control the narrative.
Well, with the alternative media, what they're trying to do is get us off of what we're talking about as far as the elections and get us talking about this very topic. That's what this is. This is about not talking about who's going on or who the elections are, not talking about that we have a hardcore communist man, black guy, doesn't matter, he could be white, pink, purple, or green, but he's a black guy out of Tallahassee that has run Tallahassee into the pit with the highest crime per capita in the state of Florida. It basically wants to give everybody free everything in the state of Florida with no way to pay for it. And basically he's running against Santorio down here in Florida. And basically he's leading in the polls. Now, here's why I don't give you numbers from the polls. I got to do a show on this. When you start speaking stuff like so-and-so is winning an election or so-and-so is winning a poll, you create a narrative to create the reality of that situation in people's minds, and the people give up. And when you have to understand how much power words have. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. So I don't like speaking the polls. I mean, some of them, you know, when Hillary was running against Trump, some of the polls were saying she was 15, 20 points ahead, and he won in a landslide, because they were using that Babylonian, Canaanite magic via words and symbols to try to hex the election. Gosh, that sounds weird. Sounds weird talking about stuff like this. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to use their little Hollywood wand. You know, the holly tree is what they used to use, the witchcraft wands. The sorcerers use a limb made out of holly, and that's why they called it Hollywood, because it's all about sorcery and controlling the right brain and the left brain interface with sounds and frequencies, which is why symbols are being used. Because remember, if you take sounds, symbols project sounds based upon the the geometric shape of the sound. You can actually play a certain tune and it'll make a certain sound. You can see that in a program called Somatics. And what they do, they can actually take like a B flat and put sand on a speaker, play a B flat, it'll create a certain image made out of the sound. It creates a sound image. And sounds do that, images do that, and our brain picks up on all that kind of stuff. And this isn't hocus pocus new age stuff. This is just physics, guys. It just deals with, you know, it deals with how the body and how the mind intercept messages coming into the brain and how everything's conceived as a thought. Everything comes out as an energy field. It deals the same way with prayer being a scalar wave, all the stuff that we've talked about in the past. But you know, one other thing I want to mention, if you missed Friday's show, I played it again last night as a rerun for Sunday night. If you missed Friday's show, I remember I always have told you guys how all of this stuff with the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the Luciferians, the Druids, all of this stuff goes back to Genesis chapter 6. Well, on Friday, I took it to Genesis chapter 6 with Noah, with his son Ham, with his grandson Cain, where the Canaanites came from, and how they were cursed by God, and how they started doing all this idol worship. Now, one thing I forgot to mention, because I was going so much information on Friday. Friday's like a whole year, a whole semester in college on this topic, by the way. It's that much information with that many scriptures. I forgot to tell you guys, some people believe, and I mentioned this, that Ham may have castrated Noah. And now, they don't really go into detail, but remember, Noah was chosen by God to go on the ark because of his seed, basically his DNA, was still pure in God's eyes. And all of a sudden, somebody sees him laying there naked, Ham sees him naked, and all of a sudden, you know, Cain gets cursed. I mean, why would you get so upset if somebody walked in and you didn't have any clothes on and you were family members? I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, but you're not going to go curse them for the rest of their life. Something happened to Noah. Either he was sodomized, some people say, or he was castrated. I think he probably got castrated because I can't find in the Bible where it has any other account of him having more children after that incident occurred. I'm not saying that he didn't. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just saying that this has been debated for thousands of years. But guys, that's a very interesting show that you need to listen to on Friday, because I tie it all the way back up to our current times and how this same group of basically Canaanite, Asherah pole, Baal, Moloch worshipers have woven its way all the way through history, which I've talked about many times. And before that, we know it was the fallen angels, direct interference for thousands of years before Genesis chapter 6. Now also, one more thing about this gunfight that Dawson sent me yesterday that I've been pondering about. What it reminded me, Austin, was an Old West standoff when you have two guys sitting there, you know, both of them with weapons and basically waiting for the other person to draw first. That's what it reminded me of. Yeah. It was like a current day gunfight. The problem is the guy brought a baseball bat to the gunfight, and it doesn't really work at all, ever. And so it was interesting to me. And so it was one of those crazy situations that you really don't want to believe happened, but it did. But back to PayPal one more time, too, let me mention this. PayPal, a lot of these alternative news talk stations and alternative shows, they have donation buttons via PayPal. They may be running another credit card authorized, like authorized.net or something else to run their credit card statements, but they're not running all of their numbers through PayPal because PayPal charges such a huge percentage of the total sale. It's ridiculous what they do. So they're not cost effective to start with, but if you're giving somebody a donation, you really don't care. That's why they're always asking me if I donate money to a third party via my credit card. They always ask me, would you like to use PayPal or you would like to use your PayPal account or you'd like to use a credit card? I always choose a credit card. Because I don't trust PayPal, number one. If I have a choice between whoever the processor is going to be, I don't choose PayPal. But some of these large groups get a large amount of contributions every month. Some of them probably into the millions of dollars a year through PayPal, Austin, and they just dried that up. Now, with us and our website, what we do, because a lot of you are so kind, and by the way, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to say thank you to start with. You know, you occasionally throw $5, $10, $15, $20, $100, $200, $500, or whatever on your order to help cover the cost of the show. And when you do that, you can't imagine what that means to us. And a lot of you say, well, you kind of like our church. We kind of like go to church with you every day. And I'm like, well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that, but we're not a 501(c) corporation. So when you do that, you know, like I said the other day when Hagman was on, when I was on Hagman's show, if you say, well, I'm not going to give money to Joe or to Doug, I mean, I would normally give them $1,000 that I could write off. If you're in a 50% income tax bracket, just to use math, because there's no such thing as that except for when you add Social Security to it. But you'd only write off 50% of what you gave him. So, in other words, if you gave him $1,000, it would save you $500 on taxes, is what it would do. So you'd still be out $500 out of pocket. So if you do that kind of stuff with Doug or Joe or with us, just take half of what you would have given if it had been a nonprofit and give us that, because that's exactly what your donation would have been anyhow after your tax savings. So it works a lot better for that. So, guys, I'm not soliciting that on the show today. I'm just saying thank you if you ever do it. I'm saying what's happening with a lot of nonprofits if they lose their PayPal. Now, the next thing that may happen with Hagman is they may lose the ability to pay them through PayPal. I believe that they also take donations through PayPal with Doug and Joe, right, Austin? Isn't that when they're on their website?
Yes, they have it. Yes, they have that on their website.
And so what happens is, you know, if they start taking that ability away from Alternative Talk, then what's going to happen is then we have to start sending checks to people. That's all we can do. Just start sending them a check or trying to do it on a credit card processor. But guys, this is an all out war right now. That show I did on Friday in Austin, the one we did on Friday, they don't want that information going out there. Not that succinct, not that clear.
No.
I've had multiple people call me up and go, wow, you really put the pieces of that puzzle together. I'm like, well, yeah, that's the puzzle. That's how it goes together. And they're like, wow, man, we see now what in the heck you're talking about when you talk about how you don't want Kabbalists in the White House, when you don't want stuff that's basically from the Zohar in the White House. You don't want that. I mean, we got to avoid that kind of stuff. So, guys, thank you for your support and help us just to continue to get this message out there, because we've got to get the people awakened in the country. And our show is one of the only shows that actually broaches these types of topics, breaches these types of topics. And so trying to get all the information out at once. By the way, here's another interesting article. Today's teens would rather text than talk in person, and adults now are preferring Wi-Fi to sex. This is nuts. In what could be called the portents of zombie apocalypse, according to a new report, a leading provider of mobile connectivity surveyed more than 1,700 people in the U.S. and Europe and found that 58% said Wi-Fi was more important to them than sex, with 7% actually feeling the need to check their cell phones during sex. I'm going to repeat that. 7% of the people I don't make it up. I just read it. With 7% actually feeling the need to check their cell phones during sex, while 72% had checked their cell phones while on the toilet. Okay. 25% of respondents said they had choose Wi-Fi over a bath or a shower, but they probably stink. And 19% said they chose Wi-Fi over human contact. Common Sense Media just released a follow-up of their 2012 study of more than 1,000 kids ages 13 to 17, and they found that in 2018, 32% of the children, these teenagers, prefer face-to-face communications with their friends, down from 49% in 2012. So that means 70% of the time they prefer to be on the telephones. These numbers may scale with teen ownership of mobile phones up from 41% to 89% today in teens. But wow, this is crazy. Common Sense Media actually is a pro-technology, independent, nonprofit organization dedicated to helping parents and children harness the power of media and technology in a positive force. But these findings are frightening, Austin, that kids nowadays would rather 70% of the time not talk to a live person, but only communicate via text messages. I personally really dislike text messages. I use them upon occasion, but you can't convey emotional thought. You have to use emojis with little stupid smiling faces to make sure people don't think you're all mad about something and whatever. I mean, I have gotten numerous discussions. You know I'm right, Austin. Yeah, I've gotten numerous discussions with people via text that escalates into this giant fight. And you're like, wait a minute. It didn't start off as a fight. You took this wrong. But yeah, I said, no, dude, just chill out, man. No, it was a joke. A few months ago, I sent out a picture when we had that royal Nephilim wedding over there in England. And I had a picture of my wife. It was funny. I talked about this on the show, in which she actually did a Photoshop thing, and she put on like a real fancy little hat, and like she was going to the wedding. And I sent out to my group of friends, and the email, I said, this is Sharon going to the royal wedding. And then I put underneath that, this is just a joke. Sharon did not go to the royal wedding. We would not attend this. And one of the people on my email list sent me back a letter telling me how Sharon's going to hell because she went to the royal wedding. I kid you not. And I'm like, dude, really? So he was taken off my email list immediately. He never got another email from me. And I thought, guy's nuts. And then I sent him an email back and said, dude, Sharon is my wife. I wrote you in the email that was a joke. You need to take a chill pill, dude. That's the problem with email and text messages. If people don't read the entire thing in the proper context, it makes it very difficult from a social interaction. And that's what I've seen with teenagers nowadays. Also, that's why kids, they don't even need a cell phone until they're 16 years old, period, until they're driving on their own by themselves. And quite frankly, we didn't have that. We didn't have a two-way walkie-talkie radio capable of connecting via anything to anywhere at any time when I was 16, 17, 18, 19. We didn't have cell phones, guys, until I was in my 40s. We didn't have them. They didn't exist. They were too expensive. They were little bag phones that we sold back in the late 80s, early 90s that were insanely expensive per minute. And you may have had something in your car you use occasionally, but everybody used a beeper, or you called the office and left a message on a recorder or with a secretary. We didn't need all that stuff. Now, I realize that they're very, very safe, especially with teenagers, if they're driving around an old jalopy or sled that's not real dependable, just in case you got to go pick them up somewhere. I mean, the other day, my daughter tried to start. We got a used Honda Accord for her with 140,000 miles, and she was putting some gas in it. She tried to start it again, and she had her lights on, and apparently the battery was a little bit low, and it's real sensitive. It wouldn't start up with the lights turned on, so she didn't know that. So I drove over there after she called, and I basically started the car like in 5 seconds. She goes, "Oh, that's really embarrassing." I said, "Well, I came over just in case it was something more than that. I should have told you just to turn the light off and try to turn it on." So it's nice to be able to do that with kids, but guys, until they drive and you're taking care of them, they don't need cell phones because of Snapchat and because of all the stuff they do. They sexting, they send pictures of their private parts. Don't believe it doesn't happen. It happens. They send out all kinds of weird content. I had this one girl that we knew from a local school, local college, and every time she was with another guy, she's hugging him and hanging on him, and she's basically ruining her reputation until finally somebody called her a hoe on social media, and all HE66 broke loose because she was called a hoe because she was acting like a hoe. And the crazy thing about it is that she'd sent it all via Snapchat so her parents wouldn't see it. So as soon as she sent it, it was gone, and they didn't know that she had all these pictures with all these guys. Now, whether she was being promiscuous sexually with these guys or not, who in the world knows? It's just, but this is what happens when you start doing this whole social media stuff. And then the kids grow up, Austin, and they become socially inept. They're not capable of handling responsibility and following through and doing things they say they're going to do, and they basically become flakes. And I've seen it over and over and over again where these kids just completely flake out, and they'll tell you they're going to show up. They don't show up. They get real busy with all the weird stuff that they do on their cell phones, and they basically confuse activity with accomplishment. In other words, they stay dreadfully busy all of the time, but they never get anything done. And I see that over and over and over again. One of the reasons they're dreadfully busy is they're dreadfully busy because they're always on their cell phones or iPads or Androids, and that's why they're not productive. And I've seen it so many times, Austin, with this current generation, that basically they're completely in total. They've got a two-second ability to maintain their attention, because that's what they if you watch TV, two-second cuts. It changes scenes like every 2-3 seconds. I mean, in the old days, in the old movies, sometimes you'd have a person like Humphrey Bogart or one of these other communists that were on the air, and they would basically get out there and go for 15 minutes on a monologue on a one-take shot, and they'd actually keep the camera on them the whole time. They were basically a talking head moving around or whatever they were doing, but you'd see it. They don't do that anymore because the people no longer have the ability, because of the brainwave technology, there we go, frequency again, to maintain attention unless it's very, very short time spans. And these iPads and these iPhones are brain entrainment devices is what they are, because of the constant dopamine triggers. And I don't know what in the world I got into all that today for, but that's what I want to talk about for a second. Any comments on that, Austin?
You're absolutely right. And I mean, especially if you're dealing with smartphones, the thing I was going to add in there is, if you got kids that, you know, maybe traveling a lot, everybody has their own, you know, different family style where people live. If you got kids that are traveling or they're going to be going different places and they're younger and they're not 16 yet, say you got an 11 or 12 year old and you really want to have the ability to stay in touch with them if there's an emergency, the absolute best option is to get them a old prepaid, or you can even need the old ones or the new ones. They even make cheaper ones now, like a cheap flip phone that has a prepaid card on it that essentially has no internet connection and is basically like a phone, text phone, call phone. That's it. It basically takes you back about 20 years into what we had, 15, 20 years on the phone systems. So it still gets good service. It still can be used as an emergency. It's got very limited minutes on it, so it can't be used very long or else it basically chews up all the data. You put basically a prepaid card on it. And then again, you don't have the ability to log onto the internet and download all these apps and all these, because most of the apps like that, I was talking about with Snapchat and stuff like that, they're not even compatible with a lot of those really, really old basic phones that are flip phones, because they don't have it. There's a little screen on them. You know, it's next to nothing. That's what I highly recommend if you really need to have your child using a phone for some type of security standpoint or some type of travel standpoint, because these smartphones are absolutely no good for these kids, especially when they're younger like that. As Dad said, the dopamine trigger, B, how much time they get wrapped up in them, and C, they completely lose their ability to communicate. If you're a grown adult and you're running a company and you're using text messages and emails to communicate with customers and contractors and manufacturers, it's an incredibly effective tool, and it can really simplify and make your life much more efficient to contact people, to get things ordered, to stay on top of things, to schedule things. It's invaluable for that. There's no question about it. But when you're 15, 16, 17 years old, you have no useful business being on a phone 24/7, texting everybody, Snapchatting. There's nothing. There's no reason to do it. You need to learn. And it's funny because I didn't even tell anybody this. The other day, Lana and I took the kids to the lake, and lake down the road from us, they had a lot of swans and ducks. We were feeding all the swans. Hunter loves ducks and swans right now. So we were feeding them, hanging out. Then we went to a park that was right down the road over by Lake Mirror. So we went over there, and Hunter was playing on the jungle gym, and we were running around and stuff. And then they had a little water park thing in the middle. And so we walked around it to go down to the lake where they had like a little garden. We wanted to get some photos with the kids. So we're walking through, and there's all these people standing on the edge of the water park, basically, that they should be watching their kids. As I said, they should be watching their kids. Little kids out playing in the water thing. There's about 15, 20 people on the edge facing different directions, sitting down, standing up, all over the place. And we walked through them all, and I'm kind of, you know, scanning everything as I always do. I always like to keep a pretty, at least about a 25 to 30 yard perimeter around me visually, that I know what's going on at all times. Just not weird, not walking around wide-eyed, but just, you know, I keep a general idea of what's going on around me. So we're walking, and we get through everybody, and we start getting down to the lake, and Lana gives me this weird look, and I said, "You saw it too, didn't you?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I said, "It's what the same thing I'm about to say it is, isn't it?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Every single person was on their phone when they should have been watching their kids." And she goes, "That's exactly what I was about to say." We walked through the people that were all standing there. Their kids are playing in the water. Everybody's standing there, strollers, eating, doing nothing. Every single person, and when I say that, I'm not exaggerating, all probably 20 people that were standing there, every single one of them had their head buried in their phone. Not a single one of them was watching their kids. Not a single one of them was conversing with one another. Not a single one of them were even taking photos of their children. Not a single one of them even had a bit of situational awareness around them. I could have probably lit a pack of black cats off and thrown it in the middle of them, and nobody would have known it was blowing up in front of them till 2 or 3 seconds after they finally woke up out of their phone. That's how asleep they were. That is something that, as a society, we really have to look at and address. From a, you know, I don't want to use this term because I don't believe in evolution, but the aspect of survival of the fittest, I do believe to be a true thing, especially in animals and mammals and everything else. Right. I mean, you can't do it. Anything that basically is the smartest, strongest animal in the wilderness is going to be survivable. The animals that are the weakest, the slowest, the dumbest, they're going to get killed. That's just simple survival of the fittest. And we've reached a point now in society where we've dumbed ourselves down so far, and we're so comfortable in this really, really cushy country that we don't even realize how bad it gets until you go to other countries like Egypt, or you go to other countries like Syria. And I've personally been to Egypt, so has Dad. That place, you got to watch out for getting shot or bombed just walking down the side of the road. But yet, United States, we've built ourselves into this giant, big, fat, obnoxious, lazy country now that we're so used to being able to have the luxury to sit on a bench and play on our phone for 30 minutes and not even take our eyes up to pay attention who's around us. And most of the time, nothing negative ever happens. The point's going to occur when we have a huge catalyst effect in this country and it goes really, really hot. And it's going to go. come at a certain point in time. Do I know when? Absolutely not. But we have not had a war on this soil in 170 years now. It's coming to a head at one point. All the countries in the world are not going to tolerate the level of basically arrogance that we have shown now for the last 100 years. They're not going to do it. At some point in time, we're going to go to a full war in this country, and a large percentage of the population is not even going to have an idea what to do, much less even see it coming, because they're so wrapped up and so buried in their phone, they literally have no idea what's going on in the outside world. And if they do, the only thing they're obsessed with is basically calling Trump a racist, because they have no other words they can use, because that's the only terminology they've heard on CNN, is basically referring to the President of the United States as a racist, when most of them don't even know the actual Webster Dictionary textbook definition of the term racist or racism. So that's just a kind of a side note. I kind of went and added on there. But yeah, that's exactly what we see going now. I mean, to the point, I saw this article earlier today. The New York Post, which, I mean, you guys know that's like a liberal rag. The New York Post now is published a whole tabloid basically on the aspect of the next financial crash is going to be worse than the Great Depression very soon. That's a post on the New York Post. The article began by discussing the banker-fueled crash of 2008, which Easy Credit led to a financial bloodbath when many families never recovered. And the same aspect that they didn't add in there was that the bankers completely took advantage of the American population and the government with their giant bailout. They didn't have that. Then they cited the astronomical global debt of $247 trillion as a crux of our pending economic disaster. And a note they added, should the U.S. economy start to shrink, and our analysis suggests that it will, the high nominal levels of debt will instantly become a very big issue. And what's ironic about this is we've talked about this for years, but they even go on to say in post citations about student loans, subprime mortgages, credit cards. They even go on to say the U.S. household debt of $33.3 trillion now exceeds the 2008 peak. They said that the mortgage lending, which is hovering near its decade-ago level of $9 trillion plus, the outstanding student loans, which were $600 billion in 2008, are now $1.5 trillion. Auto loans are nearly $1.25 trillion that exceeded the 2008 debt. Credit card balances are now higher than the level of the Great Recession. And this is something that the New York Post, the New York Times never even talks about. This is not a topic they like to talk. And this is coming to a head. So the best thing I can tell people to do, and I've told them for years, wake up, get your head out of the sand, use your cell phone as a tool, not a crutch, and be prepared for any situation that might occur. That includes being prepared physically, spiritually, and mentally, and training and exercising and using correct supplements and diet regimens to keep yourself in at least minimal shape at best. And I say minimal, I mean minimal. I don't mean allowing yourself to be 400 pounds laying on the couch eating Cheetos, playing video games all day. That is not minimal. That is the epitome of laziness and sloth. I mean actually getting in the gym and working out once to at least two times a week, jogging occasionally or walking outside or using a trampoline, and eating as clean as physically possible, because it's going to reach a point now, and I believe it's going to be in the very near future, everybody is going to look back at this time right now and say, wow, I wish it was 2018 again. That was an awesome time. We didn't have to worry about anything at all, and it's going to happen soon, and a lot of people are going to get their hands caught in the cookie jar, and they're going to have no idea how to handle the situation, Dad.
You're absolutely right, Austin, because once they can't refrigerate their insulin anymore because they weigh so much, and they basically, the insulin goes bad and they can't buy it at the grocery store, and it becomes an inelastic demand curve, they're going to be giving away everything. I mean, in Germany, in the Weimar Republic, the central bankers had inflated the currency so much. We're talking Rothschilds again, who all, by the way, they're the same ones. In fact, it was a joke. It was called the Rothschild delegation, you know, for the Treaty of Versailles. It was that ridiculous, that blatant in your face. They hyperinflated the currency in Germany, completely wiped out the country. I mean, wiped out the aristocracy, wiped out the middle class, wiped out everybody, because it was 40 billion marks for a loaf of bread. And people were giving grand pianos that today would sell for $100,000. You know, Steinway master pianos, they were giving them away to these people in the banking situations for a bag of potatoes. I'm not kidding you guys. That's what my mom told me. She was there. And so, you know, they were giving away mink coats for an apple. you know, because they were so hungry. They were starving to death after World War One because of the blockades. So, you know, you can't eat a mink coat. You can't eat a Steinway piano. You can't eat all these luxury things that you have, but you can sure trade them for a bag of potatoes or an apple. And so this is what happens when this happens, guys. That's why you need to have some storable food set aside. By the way, this is an interesting article from the Black Community News. And it was written by Rebecca Hagelin. And I looked at it earlier today, and I thought, this lady has done an excellent job. I'm going to read part of this to you. It says, will America fall to socialism / I'm adding communism, same thing, in the November elections? Remember, they said if we call it socialism, then basically everybody will accept it. They won't accept communism, they'll accept socialism. Then she goes on to say, for a peek into what America may soon look like, if citizens who value the U.S. Constitution and the rights it protects don't show up to vote in November elections, focus for a moment on the ugly chaos created by the Marxist, socialist, communist, feminist, Islamist progressives in Judge Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Lawless, hysterical, and venom-spewing bigots attempted to take over the hearings, and that's not including the screams and other bizarre interruptions by radical protesters, more than 220 whom were arrested and removed. Leftist Senators Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Dianne Feinstein, the blithering idiot, I'm adding this, and Patrick Leahy made a mockery of a vital constitutional Senate function and egged on the demonstrators, some of whom had fake blood dripping from their crotches. I mean, really? Rank and file Democrats across the country must be bewildered and embarrassed by how their party has drifted so far from its original values. Republicans need to show up at the polls en masse, as well as hope and pray that the most decent of Democrats will stay home on election day as they did when they could not stomach voting for Hillary Clinton. Or better yet, pray that decent Democrats cross party lines and vote for Americans who want to preserve America. It's time for intelligent Democrats to realize their party has been hijacked by the unholy alliance between radical Islamists, socialists, feminists, and LGBTQ communist activists, all zealously creating chaos in order to transform America into a nation that none of us will recognize. For anyone wondering how things got so badly so quickly, it's time to follow the money. Here we go. The innumerable fake protests, vulgar street theater, and anti-American events and acts of violence taking place across the nation, all in the name of the Democratic Party, are largely funded by who Austin talked about earlier, by George Soros, the Rothschild puppet cutout, the far-left communist Nazi New York billionaire. Yes, the same George Soros who was convicted felon in France and was ousted by his native Hungary. Mr. Soros also has already pumped $18 billion into his Open Society Foundation, making it the largest engine for radical socialist policies and anti-American protests around the globe. The thing that I don't understand about any of this stuff, Austin, you go ahead and read the article. It's a very long article. I'm done with it now. But the thing I don't understand is this. If we know this guy has been kicked out of Hungary and basically banned out of a bunch of other countries at this point because of what he does, trying to create social upheaval in turnover countries, just for the sake of profit, by the way, is why he does this. He tries to manipulate currencies against other countries' currencies to make huge amounts of money in the markets. This guy is a real – he's a Jew. He's an Ashkenazi Jew who worked with the Nazis during World War II to turn in his fellow Jewish people for a chunk of their money. After the war, he said that his best times of his life was working for the Nazis. And then he left and went to England and worked with the Bank of England, where he was introduced to the Rothschilds, who basically staked him, so to speak. And basically, he's another cutout, like J.P. Morgan was, as far as his fortune is being controlled and promoted through the communist agenda of the communist group that took over Russia that we've talked about many, many times in detail. That's who this guy is. And see, the reality is this, Austin, it's hard to differentiate him from socialist, communist, Nazism, all the rest that he's been involved in, because all he's trying to do is do regime change. Right here now in the United States, he's trying to unduly influence the elections right now in America to unseat congressmen and senators and to get Trump impeached. He's the one doing all of this because Trump's policies aren't leftist enough. We have two factions, basically, of the satanic Illuminati group that I talked about on Friday that are fighting for control of the United States. One of them is the Nazi branch and the hardcore communist Lenin socialist branch. And then there are two groups of basically Masonic leaders that run the whole show, and they're fighting on who's going to control the United States and control the earth. But they are both being controlled by the international banking cartel. And as Kahn said back in the early 20s, when he said we control both sides of the narrative. So guys, the picture that we're given is a picture of complete and total control from both sides. That's why when I see this theater of Rosenstein going to get fired or to be terminated or resigned at the White House, suddenly it comes back that he went to a cabinet meeting instead. It's all political theater. All it's like you said earlier, it's more bread and circuses for the masses.
Yep.
That's why I rarely talk about this stuff, because it's just it's more obfuscation to prevent us from talking about the real issues, like the 5G network and all of the things they're doing with that. And also one more thing I want to talk about, I want to cover this in more detail too, and this is called the SASER, S-A-S-E-R. This is something that I believe that's going to be tied to the 5G network. This was developed in 2009 when they released it to the public, and this is an article from Laser Focus World, and the article's from June the 19th, 2009. It says, scientists developed SASER, S-A-S-E-R, an acoustic laser that produces terahertz sound waves. Scientists at the University of Nottingham, in collaboration with the colleagues in the Ukraine, have produced an acoustic laser, which is called a SASER, that is the first to emit in terahertz range. While a laser basically uses packets of electromagnetic vibration called photons, a SASER uses sound waves composed of sonic vibrations called phonons. And basically what it's able to do is cut through steel or anything as efficiently as a laser. The difference with this technology, guys, is this. You can see a laser because they're coming out as this light. Can't see the SASER. Can't see it. It's invisible to the naked eye. And so this technology could be partially, this is speculation on my part, could be partially what's being applied and used in 5G technology. I just wanted to mention that for a second. People are always asking me what to do as far as helping their bodies to deal with all this 5G interface stuff. Use our immune system protocol. Make sure you stay on your D3, your K2, have your astragalus handy, your vitamin C, your vitamin E, all of the stuff that we promote on the new immune system protocol, along with a multiple vitamin powder or capsules if you prefer, because what that will do, that'll help keep your immune system strong and help for you to, your immune system will stay stronger as we're being bombarded with more and more of this microwave energy. That's my tip for the day as far as from a health standpoint. What do you think, Oz?
You're absolutely right. And one thing that I've seen more and more, and I just want to kind of give people a tip on this, is if you do ever get regular blood work done, which you really should at least once a year, always have your D3 levels tested. I've noticed more and more now, customers that have been emailing me and talking to me, and even people in person, that their D3 levels are low. And we know this from the articles and research I've talked about over the last year, that we're seeing a crisis now with D3 levels. I mean, almost everybody that's getting tested now is D3 low. They're deficient in D3. And I've seen people that are even starting to take higher doses of D3, even our doses, and it's just now starting to get them back into the nominal realm of, 40 to 50 of where the D3 is, which, I mean, it can go even higher than that, very much so. And understand that D3 has so many crucial roles to people that have multiple sclerosis, to people that are dealing with brain issues, to mood, to focus, to energy, to immune system. And one key factor that I think is contributing to a lot of this, obviously, we know most diets in the Western world are horrific. Even natural, even some organic diets, the nutrient density that we're getting out of these foods now is just par none to whatever we used to get 100 years ago. I mean, it's nothing. It's virtually nothing. At least with organic food, you're not getting that significant exposure to glyphosate and the antibiotics and everything else. That being said, we know that there's a global effort to spray massive amount of toxins, and we know for a fact that it contains aluminum and barium from our own water tests that Dad and I have done years ago that you can see on the website of Health Masters. We did our own water tests from chemtrails. Basically, chemtrails were being sprayed, and we put containers out, clean containers out, right before it rained and caught the rainwater right after a huge chemtrail spraying for like 2 days straight. And the numbers of aluminum and barium were literally off the charts, higher than what the CDC even allows in drinking water. So we know they're doing this. So essentially, it's blocking out a good portion of what our body's ability have to synthesize and absorb and make D3 from sunlight. So we know this is an issue. So D3 is a crucial supplement to keep in your toolbox, essentially, when it comes down to it, because It's so important for the immune system, for energy, for so many different factions in the body. That's why on the website we have the basic healthy lifestyle kit, and we specifically have that in there with the ultimate multiple, the D3, the vitamin C, the B complex, and the Norwegian omega 3. We specifically put that kit together as a base platform. That essentially, you got to think of it like if you're building a house. That's like your slab and your foundation and your footer. That's what those supplements are. Those are your base supplements that you absolutely need to have in your diet all the time, because it's almost impossible to get those even from a normal organic diet. And that's why we have the D3 in there, because it's so important, along with the C and the multiple and the B. So I just want to kind of add that in there on top of what you were saying, that as far as with the D, because I'm seeing that so much now with people being deficient in that.
It's a major problem, Austin, primarily because of chemtrails, because of sunscreen. By the way, Pope Francis has acknowledged that his reputation pales a bit compared to St. John Paul II, at least as far as Poles are concerned. Pope Francis in Poland tells the world-famous photographer that basically the John Paul II was a saint, and I am the devil, or I am Satan. And then this is what the Pope says. Wow. I mean, so you've got to think through this for a second. Then he kind of laughs it off like he was telling a joke. But remember, Pope Francis preaches the New Age gospel of Gaia, earth worship. Pope Francis declared that hell is not real, doesn't exist. Pope Francis declared that Mary to be the queen of the universe. Pope Francis prays that Jerusalem never comes under Jewish control. Pope Francis has recently repeatedly that a personal relationship with Jesus is dangerous and harmful. Let me repeat that. A personal relationship with Jesus is dangerous and harmful. He also addressed the United Nations in 2015 and told that he has come in my own name, whatever that means. And Pope Francis not only allows other people to worship him, he demands it. Guys, this is not good. This guy's a whack bag. But of course, you know what he did down in Argentina. Love you guys. Got to pray for you again this morning. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. You guys are just amazing to me. I love you guys. I really do. I appreciate you. You make this show possible, and you've basically given purpose for me at 62, almost 63 years of age, to continue to get the message out and to let people know that Jesus Christ is Lord. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. I need you guys to do me a favor right now. We have the product of the week going, and I guess I put a pretty aggressive list up together, and we have multiple, almost ties, actually one tie and another one that are right next to each other. So when you get a chance, go on the website and choose what product you want to win on Wednesday morning, because right now the Super Brain Food and the Melatonin Sublingual are both tied at 31 votes. And then we have the Prostate Support and the Muscle Blast right behind it with 24 and 25 votes. So those could change over very quickly on top of a tie. I've never actually had a tie when at the end of Wednesday. So be sure to get on there and vote. We want to hear your voice. We want to know what you guys want to win so I can put it on sale for you. So be sure to get on the website, healthmasters.com. Let us know what you want to be on sale. And, of course, we are still running the Magnesium Brain Food on sale for you guys right now for 20% off for a little bit longer. Just want to make sure everybody has access to it, because I've still gotten emails over the weekend. People are asking, when's it going to be over with? You know, I basically want to order some this week. We're trying to take care of everybody on that with this super sale. So be sure to check it out, healthmasters.com. If you need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.